This morning, let's take some prayer requests before we get started this morning. How many have unspoken requests? Raise your hand. Something on your heart, unspoken request. Most of us do. Let's pray one for another. Specific things that are on your heart that you would like for us to pray with you about this morning. Anything you want to share? Yes, ma'am.
I have two. We have a lady in our community in the Plainville area that's been diagnosed with cancer. It's a Mrs. Gregory.
Okay. Amen. Let's pray for these. Two of them that have forms of cancer. Let's do pray for these folks. Anyone else now before we go to the Lord in prayer? Yeah. Okay. Let's pray for this family. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else? All right. Bless Brother Donald Bowman. Brother Donald, would you pray for us, please, sir? Amen. Amen. God bless you, folks. Open your Bibles. If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to Psalm 119. We'll start there in just a moment. While you're opening, a couple of preliminary things. First of all, does every family, we have a workbook that we gave out last week. Did every family get one, every couple, one per couple, or one? Did everyone get one? Did you not get one, Brother Ricky? Okay. Well, amen. You'll come on. If I could have a couple of men too to help me, I've got something else I want to hand out. If I could have a couple of men to help me this morning. Okay. Guys, if y'all wouldn't mind handing out one per family now, the booklet, one per family. This is something that we'll be doing periodically. We've got seven of these booklets on various topics that are related to the King James Bible. And each week or every other week, every other Lord leads on that, we'll be giving these out. And they'll probably, right now, there's seven up, different ones, and we'll probably be bringing in some more of those as we go along. So we want every family to have one of those. Let me say, before I get started, on all this information that I'm handing out, I'm going to stop short of saying that I agree with every word that's written, but I will say this. Everything that I'm handing out, I have read very, very carefully many times, more than once. I've read it all through very, very carefully. I've paid careful attention to it, and I'm in agreement generally with all that's in what I'm handing out to you. There's a lot of good things out there that I actually have in my possession, things that I personally really enjoy, but there are parts of some of those books. Now, these are just booklets I'm handing out. There's parts of those that even though overall I would say to you, I think this is a good book, there's things, conclusions that they come to that I just don't agree with, that I don't believe are in line with the Word of God. And because of that, there's much of that I would not want to hand out. But the things that I am handing out are things that I've read, and overall, I am in agreement with what's in there. If it were not the case, I would not be handing it out to you. And also, amen. God bless you, folks. Psalm 119 and verse 89, the Bible says this, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." And one more verse in Psalm 119, verse 152, the Bible says there, "Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever." We'll be starting on page 9 of your notes. Those of you that have your notebooks with you will be on page 9. The Bible is from God is a section we'll be starting on this morning. We will not get through with this section this morning. This is perhaps the most important section that we'll deal with in our entire study. This is going to be foundational to all that we bring before you in this study on the Word of God. And I want to make sure that we deal with this thoroughly. And I don't want to hurry through it and feel like I've got to get to a certain point. So you please keep that in mind. Folks, the Word of God, the Bible, the King James Bible that I have in my hand, and if you've got a King James Bible that you have in your hand, is from God. I want you to think about that. Isn't that an amazing thing? Isn't it amazing to think that the God in heaven, the great God of the universe, wrote a book. God wrote a book, and God gave that book to you and I, and you and I have that book in our hands this morning. Now, that is exactly what I believe about the King James Bible that I have in my hand this morning. I believe that this book is from Almighty God. I believe God is the author of every word of it. I believe it's pure and complete and infallible and inerrant and inspired. I've got it in my hand this morning, and those of you that have a King James Bible, you've got that Word of God in your hand this morning. I'll tell you, that in and of itself is enough to just make your mule get loose in the corn crib. I mean, that is exciting business. I mean, to think about that. God in heaven wrote a book and gave it to you and I. That's an amazing thing. I just can't get over that. That God wrote a book and gave it to us. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. This morning, I want you to keep in mind that the emphasis of what we're going to be talking about, primarily, there's four thoughts in this section. The two primary thoughts in this section are the twin teachings of inspiration and preservation. Folks, keep in mind, one means absolutely nothing without the other. Inspiration is useless. Are you listening? Inspiration is useless if God didn't preserve what He inspired. Preservation has no meaning whatsoever if God didn't first inspire a word that He was then going to turn around and preserve so that you and I would have it today. Inspiration and preservation in the Word of God are inseparable twins. They cannot be separated, and both of them must be understood together as they're given in the Word of God. Now, because we're people and we can't do two things at one time, at least I can't and all, I can't accommodate two thoughts at once. We're going to look at inspiration, and then we're going to look at preservation. But folks, they both go hand in hand, just like repentance and faith and salvation. Somebody says, Brother Kirkpatrick, which one comes first, repentance or faith? I don't know. What do you think? I don't know. I do know this, though. I know when a person gets saved, both repentance and faith are present. They're both necessary for salvation. You can argue all you want to, and I don't want to be involved. I don't care. If you say, Brother Kirkpatrick, I think repentance has to come before faith does. Good, I like that. You say, Brother Kirkpatrick, I think faith has to come before repentance does. Great, I like that. I just know both of them have to be together for us to get saved. And folks, inspiration and preservation have to both work together for you and I to have the Word of God that we have in our hands this morning. Now, the things that I'm talking about are foundational truths. You've got to know these. You've got to get these in your heart and mind. All through our study, we're going to come back to inspiration and preservation. You say, Brother Kirkpatrick, why is it so important? Because all of those folks that are responsible for the critical text from which all modern versions come from don't believe. Now watch it. They don't believe in preservation at all. And they tell us that they don't in their writing. Some of them say that they believe in inspiration. The reality is, we know from their writings, they really don't believe it, even though they might have said at some point they did. But the reason they're comfortable saying they believe in inspiration is because it's something that they cannot go back, that you cannot go back to and challenge them on. You see, here's what they say. You folks that have heard me teach over the past 10 years have heard me say 100 times probably at various times that inspiration is useless without preservation. You see, there's those that would say that they believe in inspiration as it relates to the original manuscript. Now, there's the key. As it relates to the original manuscripts. Folks, we don't have the original manuscripts. We're not going to have the original manuscripts. For me to say that I believe in inspiration, I believe in the inspiration of the Word of God as it relates to the original manuscripts, is for me to say absolutely nothing at all. It means nothing, folks. I don't have the original manuscripts. You can't challenge my faith on that statement. You see, I believe in more than I do believe in inspiration. With all of my heart, I do. But I believe in more. I not only believe that God inspired the Word of God originally, I believe God preserved what He inspired, brought it down through time to this very day, and I believe that I have that Word of God in my hand in the King James Bible. Now, you can challenge my faith on that. You say, Brother Kirkpatrick, what are you talking about? Well, I believe in inspiration, yes. I believe in preservation, yes, I do. So somebody looks me in the eye and say, well, then you're saying that you believe that the King James Bible is the inspired, preserved, inerrant, infallible Word of God. I absolutely believe that. You see, there's a multitude out there, and they're saying, I believe in the inspiration of the original manuscripts. Big deal. What I want to know is, do you believe that you've got the Word of God in your hand this morning in the King James Bible? I do. I do. I believe that. Let's look at it this morning. Number one, before we get into inspiration, there's four things I want you to have. First of all, there's God's preordained determination this morning. The Word of God exists. This is on page 9, number one. The Word of God existed in the heart and mind of God before the foundation of the world. Now, folks, think about this. Think about this. Before the Word of God was even written, Brother Joy, there's some more of the booklets in pastor's office. If you would get one and give it to Brother Charlie and Sister Hilda, please. And amen. Before the foundation of the world, God determined that He was going to give us the Word of God. Before the first man was ever moved on by the Spirit of God, God had determined what the Word of God would be. In the heart and mind of God, every word of God already existed. Before God ever moved on the first man, in the Old Testament times, to pin down the first Word of God that you and I have in our King James Bible, that Word already existed in the heart and mind of Almighty God. Folks, God had already looked down through the centuries of time. God knew all the conditions that would exist. God knew what kind of men that He would use to work through to give His Word. He knew their thoughts and their lives. And God predetermined before the creation that He was going to use fallible men to give to you and I and infallible Word of God. Now, I've read two verses already. I want to read one more, two verses in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, think about that. The Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ are inseparable in the pages of the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ is the living incarnate Word. The word incarnate simply means enfleshing or taking on a body. The Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, is the living incarnate Word. The Bible is the living written Word. Folks, they're inseparable. They're joined together in the pages of the Bible. Jesus Christ and the Word of God have an inseparable relationship. Oh, my. You see, when I talk about God's preordained determination, I'm emphasizing the source of the Word of God and the importance of the Word of God. The source, of course, is from God Almighty. It's from God Almighty. The predetermined, the preordained Word of God. The Word of God is so important. It's so important that before the first word of it ever existed, as far as man is concerned, God Almighty had already determined what every bit of it was going to be. I'd say that makes it pretty important. Number two, on page number 10 of your notes, God's divine inspiration. The Word of God is given by inspiration of Almighty God. The word inspiration, as given in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, means God breathed. This thought brings before us the truth that the words of Scripture were breathed out by God Himself. They are God's words, and they came forth from God. Now, folks, the word inspiration means God breathed, but there is so much more to the word inspiration than just God breathed. Now, the emphasis there is that it comes from God. Just like the words that I'm speaking to you right now, as I speak, the breath is coming forth from within as I speak the words. I'm speaking words. The Bible is emphasizing to us by inspiration that the Word of God was given by God Himself, just as if God had spoken every word. Just as if God had spoken every word. Let me just take a little pause here. I want to read a couple of things. Back in 2007, some of you folks, the old Brother Kirkpatrick, I remember, thought I was going to die. We spent a year studying through the book of Revelation. I wrote a study on that. On page 2 of that, in some introductory thoughts, here's what I wrote. I believe wholeheartedly and without reservation in the divine inspiration, 2 Timothy 3:16, and supernatural preservation, Psalm 12 and verse 7, of the Word of God. It is my firm conviction that the authorized King James Version of the Holy Scriptures is God's Word to English-speaking people and is preserved for us in a pure, complete, and inerrant form. Yesterday I was reading a little book. This is by Dr. Sam Gipp. Very, very good book, by the way, and he's got some other things, and I do recommend them. But I read a statement in here, and I thought I'd bring it this morning and just share with you a thought. Now, we're talking about inspiration. We're giving a definition, trying to give a definition of inspiration. In this little book, Dr. Sam Gipp quotes this morning. Let's take some prayer requests before we get started this morning. How many have unspoken requests? Raise your hand. Something on your heart, unspoken request. Most of us do. Let's pray one for another. specific things that are on your heart that you would like for us to pray with you about this morning. Anything you want to share? Yes, ma'am.
I have two. We have a lady in our community.
Said this concerning inspiration. The inspiration of the Okay. Divine process by which God conveys His words through man to man in such a miraculous manner that the personality of the human instrument is discernible. Yet, the words... Wow, okay. Amen. Let's pray with these. Two of them that have forms of cancer. Let's do pray for these folks. Anyone else now, before we go to the Lord in prayer? A word on what words are inspired in your Bible. The final word on what words are inspired and what words are not is simple. If it's in the Bible, it's inspired. Boy, I like that. If it's in the Bible, that's inspired. Folks, I believe that. I believe that if it's in the Bible, it's inspired. I don't have a problem with that. Inspiration, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now watch. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Folks, all Scripture, every bit of it, is given by inspiration of Almighty God. A lot of books written on inspiration. A lot of good books written on inspiration, by the way. But sometimes, because theologians like to be theologians, they start kind of arguing about things. They start arguing about things that there's important things to argue about, and I'll argue about those for you. But they want to talk about, well, it's not mechanical inspiration. In other words, the people that were writing the Word of God, they weren't just like robots, and God was just, speaking, giving them exactly the words to say. Sometimes they were. You say, Brother Kirkpatrick, what are you talking about? Sometimes God told the Old Testament prophets especially, He said, write down these words. And they wrote down the very words. God said, write these words down, and they wrote it down. I'm going to stop short. Now, most of the time it wasn't like that, folks. That's written, but I will say this. Everything that I'm handing out, I have. That's the reason, as you read the various books very, very carefully, many times in there. The style is a part, carefully, of the words are the words of God, and God used men and worked through them, and generally, with all God, sometimes God, out to you, there's a lot of good things out there that I actually have, and God said time and again, really enjoy, but there are parts of some of those books. Now, these are just booklets I'm handing out. There's parts of those that even though overall I would say to you, I think this is a good book, there's things, conclusions that they come to that I just don't agree with, that I don't believe are in line with the Word of God. And because of that, there's much of that I would not want to hand out. But the things that I am handing out are things that I've read, and overall I am in agreement with what's in there. If it were not the case, I would not be handing it out to you. And also, amen. God bless you, folks. Psalm 119 and verse 89, the Bible says this, "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven." And one more verse in Psalm 119, verse 152, the Bible says there, "Concerning Thy testimonies, I have known of old that Thou hast founded them forever." We'll be starting on page 9 of your notes. Those of you that have your notebooks with you will be on page 9. The Bible is from God is a section we'll be starting on this morning. We will not get through with this section this morning. This is perhaps the most important section that we'll deal with in our entire study. This is going to be foundational to all that we bring before you in this study on the Word of God, and I want to make sure that we deal with this thoroughly, and I don't want to hurry through it and feel like I've got to get to a certain point, so you please keep that in mind. Folks, the Word of God, the Bible, the King James Bible that I have in my hand, and if you've got a King James Bible that you have in your hand, is from God. I want you to think about that. Isn't that an amazing thing? Isn't it amazing to think that the God in heaven, the great God of the universe, wrote a book. God wrote a book, and God gave that book to you and I, and you and I have that book in our hands this morning. Now, that is exactly what I believe about the King James Bible that I have in my hand this morning. I believe that this book is from Almighty God. I believe God is the author of every word of it. I believe it's pure and complete and infallible and inerrant and inspired. I've got it in my hand this morning, and those of you that have a King James Bible, you've got that Word of God in your hand this morning. I'll tell you, that in and of itself is enough just make your mule get loose in the corn crib. I mean, that is exciting business. I mean, to think about that. God in heaven wrote a book and gave it to you and I. That's an amazing thing. I just can't get over that. That God wrote a book and gave it to us. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. This morning, I want you to keep in mind that the emphasis of what we're going to be talking about, primarily, there's four thoughts in this section. The two primary thoughts in this section are the twin teachings of inspiration and preservation. Folks, keep in mind, one means absolutely nothing without the other. Inspiration is useless. Are you listening? Inspiration is useless if God didn't preserve what He inspired. Preservation has no meaning whatsoever if God didn't first inspire a word that He was then going to turn around and preserve so that you and I would have it today. Inspiration and preservation in the Word of God are inseparable twins. They cannot be separated, and both of them must be understood together as they're given in the Word of God. Now, because we're people and we can't do two things at one time, at least I can't, and all, I can't accommodate two thoughts at once. We're going to look at inspiration, and then we're going to look at preservation. But folks, they both go hand in hand, just like repentance and faith and salvation. Somebody says, Brother Kirkpatrick, which one comes first, repentance or faith? I don't know. What do you think? I don't know. I do know this, though. I know when a person gets saved, both repentance and faith are present. They're both necessary for salvation. You can argue all you want to, and I don't want to be involved. I don't care. If you say, Brother Kirkpatrick, I think repentance has to come before faith does. Good, I like that. You say, Brother Kirkpatrick, I think faith has to come before repentance does. Great, I like that. I just know both of them have to be together for us to get saved. And folks, inspiration and preservation have to both work together for you and I to have the Word of God that we have in our hands this morning. Now, the things that I'm talking about are foundational truths. You've got to know these. You've got to get these in your heart and mind. All through our study, we're going to come back to inspiration and preservation. You say, Brother Kirkpatrick, why is it so important? Because all of those folks that are responsible for the critical text from which all modern versions come from don't believe, now watch it, they don't believe in preservation at all, and they tell us that they don't in their writing. Some of them say that they believe in inspiration. The reality is, we know from their writings, they really don't believe it, even though they might have said at some point they did. But the reason they're comfortable saying they believe in inspiration is because it's something that they cannot go back, that you cannot go back to and challenge them on. You see, here's what they say. You folks that have heard me teach over the past 10 years have heard me say 100 times probably at various times that inspiration is useless without preservation. You see, there's those that would say that they believe in inspiration as it relates to the original manuscript. Now, there's the key. As it relates to the original manuscripts. Folks, we don't have the original manuscripts. We're not going to have the original manuscripts. For me to say that I believe in inspiration, I believe in the inspiration of the Word of God as it relates to the original manuscripts, is for me to say absolutely nothing at all. It means nothing, folks. I don't have the original manuscripts. You can't challenge my faith on that statement. You see, I believe in more than I do believe in inspiration. With all of my heart, I do. But I believe in more. I not only believe that God inspired the Word of God originally, I believe God preserved what He inspired, brought it down through time to this very day, and I believe that I have that Word of God in my hand in the King James Bible. Now, you can challenge my faith on that. You say, Brother Kirkpatrick, what are you talking about? Well, I believe in inspiration, yes. I believe in preservation, yes, I do. So somebody looks me in the eye and say, well, then you're saying that you believe that the King James Bible is the inspired, preserved, inerrant, infallible Word of God. I absolutely believe that. You see, there's a multitude out there, and they're saying, I believe in the inspiration of the original manuscript. Big deal. What I want to know is, do you believe that you've got the Word of God in your hand this morning in the King James Bible? I do. I do. I believe that. Let's look at it this morning. Number one, before we get into inspiration, there's four things I want you to have. First of all, there's God's preordained determination this morning. The Word of God exists. This is on page 9, number 1. The Word of God existed in the heart and mind of God before the foundation of the world. Now, folks, think about this. Think about this. Before the Word of God was even written, Brother Joy, there's some more of the booklets in pastor's office. If you would get one and give it to Brother Charlie and Sister Hilda, please. And amen. Before the foundation of the world, God determined that He was going to give us the Word of God. Before the first man was ever moved on by the Spirit of God, God had determined what the Word of God would be. In the heart and mind of God, every word of God already existed. Before God ever moved on the first man, in the Old Testament times, to pin down the first word of God that you and I have in our King James Bible, that word already existed in the heart and mind of Almighty God. Folks, God had already looked down through the centuries of time. God knew all the conditions that would exist. God knew what kind of men that He would use to work through to give His Word. He knew their thoughts and their lives. And God predetermined before the creation that He was going to use fallible men to give to you and I an infallible Word of God. Now, I've read two verses already. I want to read one more, two verses in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, think about that. The Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ are inseparable in the pages of the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ is the living incarnate Word. The word incarnate simply means enfleshing or taking on a body. The Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, is the living incarnate Word. The Bible is the living written Word. Folks, they're inseparable. They're joined together in the pages of the Bible. Jesus Christ and the Word of God have an inseparable relationship. Oh my. You see, when I talk about God's preordained determination, I'm emphasizing the source of the Word of God and the importance of the Word of God. The source, of course, is from God Almighty. It's from God Almighty. The predetermined, the preordained Word of God. The Word of God is so important. It's so important that before the first word of it ever existed, as far as man is concerned, God Almighty had already determined what every bit of it was going to be. I'd say that makes it pretty important. Number two, on page number 10 of your notes, God's divine inspiration. The Word of God is given by inspiration of Almighty God. The word inspiration, as given in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, means God breathed. This thought brings before us the truth that the words of Scripture were breathed out by God Himself. They are God's words, and they came forth from God. Now, folks, the word inspiration means God breathed, but there is so much more to the word inspiration than just God breathed. Now, the emphasis there is that it comes from God. Just like the words that I'm speaking to you right now, as I speak, the breath is coming forth from within as I speak the words. I'm speaking words. The Bible is emphasizing to us by inspiration that the Word of God was given by God Himself, just as if God... You know what dynamic equivalency says? Dynamic equivalency says that the words are not important. It's just the thoughts that count. And that's how they justify deleting whole verses and whole passages and changing tens of thousands of words. When you call them on it, you know what they say? They say, well, it's really just the thoughts that are important. That's a lie, folks. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that the words of God are inspired. And Revelation chapter 22 tells us, God says if you add to the words or you subtract from the words, you're going to be under the judgment of Almighty God. Verbal inspiration. I told you I wasn't going to get through. I just had no idea I was only going to get this far this morning. Verbal inspiration. Page number 12 in your notes. Plenary inspiration. The Bible teaches at the end of... Now, folks, listen. This is foundational. What we're talking about now is foundational. Inspiration and preservation. Those that created the critical text didn't believe any of this. As we go through this study, please understand, pay attention to the words that I'm using. I put a distinction between those who created, and remember, I just used the word created the critical text. There's a distinction between those who created the critical text and those who use the critical text. So as I speak about those things, pay attention to that. Those that created the critical text didn't believe this. Some said that they believed in inspiration, but their writing showed otherwise. I want you to get this. None of them believed in preservation, and they said so in their writing. They just flat state in their writing that they do not believe in the preservation of the Word of God. There's plenary inspiration of the Word of God. Every bit of it is inspired. In your Bible, the phrase, the Word of God, is a phrase that emphasizes the sum total of the Bible. The word Scripture is also a word that is used to refer to the sum total of the Bible. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What part of the Word of God inspires faith? Every bit of it does. Every bit of it's inspired. All of it. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What part of the Word of God? Every bit of it. All of it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because that when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Folks, this is the word of God. This is it. I'm out of time. I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to end by saying this. Not only is this King James Bible the Word of God, but this King James Bible is the greatest copy of the Word of God that has ever existed in the history of mankind. Now, I want you to think about this. Have you ever thought about that the early church never had a complete copy of the Word of God? Have you ever thought about it like that? The early church, the Word of God was being given as men like Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and the Apostle Paul, as they were being moved by the Spirit of God to write down the inspired words of God, they were doing that faithfully. As they wrote each portion down, each letter, let's just say Ephesians. You see, by the time Ephesians was written, there were several other portions had already been written. But you see, they didn't have the written Word of God in its entirety in the early church. John, the apostle that wrote the book of Revelation, John was the last surviving apostle. John died between 90 and 100 A.D. John wrote down the book of the Revelation. Before John was inspired, moved by the Holy Spirit to write down the book. Copied those and made multiple copies and passed them on, and different people had different copies. But you realize the early church never had in their possession, they never had a complete written copy of the Word of God. Now, I know some things. I know in the early church they had the gift. They had some gifts of the Spirit that were done away with a completed revelation of the Word of God. In the early church, can I say this in a Baptist church? They spoke with tongues. In the early church, they spoke with tongues. When they spoke with tongues, you know what they were doing? If when that happened in the early church, let's say they didn't have the book of Romans yet. When a fellow spoke in tongues, was moved by the Holy Spirit, and he spoke in tongues, he would stand up and he would speak words. He would give, let's just say he was given Romans chapter number 5. He would sit down, and another guy would stand up, and he would interpret what was said. So God made it possible for them to have all that they needed to know, but they never had a complete written copy of the Word of God. You and I do. You and I do. Time's over. Gotta quit. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Bless in Jesus' name. Amen.